I will take our Bible reading this morning from the book of Psalms and from the Psalm 103. Psalm, of course, fits in very well with the theme in the hymns that we've been singing together, and that is praise to the Lord. Psalm 103 in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Amen. We'll end our reading there. God again will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. I'd like you to open your Bible again with me, please, at the Psalm 103 that we read together. We're going to focus our attention upon what is said in verse 2, because that really bears out the entire theme of the psalm, where the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. We want very simply this morning to think upon the importance of spiritual gratitude. The importance of spiritual gratitude. We were singing that great hymn, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." During the Welsh revival, at every meeting that was convened, that hymn was sung at every meeting. Psalm 103, of course, is one of praise, where the psalmist is thinking much about how God has blessed him. He has now come to express his gratitude. It is really the psalmist saying thank you. And often we teach our children, no matter what is given to them, to remember to say thank you. And yet often when it comes to spiritual blessings that are given to us from the Lord, we take them almost for granted. But the psalmist calls us to stop to think for a moment, because in this psalm, we do not find one single word of petition or request, but rather the psalm is one completely of praise, of gratitude. It's a time to thank the Lord. Now, of course, the psalm itself breaks up into three particular divisions. In the first six verses, there is the theme of personal praise. Then in the verses 9 or 7 through to 19, it is the theme of national praise. And then in the remainder of the psalm, the theme is that of universal praise. So the whole psalm is given over to the matter of gratitude and praise and thankfulness to the Lord for his goodness. I just happened to read a story recently of a very wealthy individual, a millionaire, but he was never known to give his workers one more word of credit or praise. And then one day he learned that his accountant had suddenly and sadly taken his own life. That bothered him, but when he checked through the books, he found that the accountant, as always, had everything in perfect order. But there was a letter left by the accountant that struck a note and a chord in that man's life. And it simply read, in the 30 years of diligent work, all I ever received was complaints. Never a word of gratitude or thanks. Therefore, I see no purpose in carrying on in life. The psalmist is calling us to count our blessings, to name them one by one. And folks, it really will surprise you what the Lord has done. Now, as we come to look at this psalm, I want you to notice, first of all, the praise that we should express. Even in the opening verse, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Now, in those words, you find the psalmist rejoicing, expressing his gratitude for everything that God has done for him. You see, it's not hard to say thank you. Yet often we don't stop to do it. You see, praise, or the matter of rejoicing, is to be a common characteristic in the life of the believer. Yet we live in a day when many of God's people are so concerned with the events of the world and everything around them that they are cumbered and brought down. And yet when Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said this, "Rejoice evermore." And every believer should be a rejoicing believer, because in spite of situations and circumstances, there's still much that you and I can praise the Lord for. And Jesus told his disciples to rejoice. And then he told them why they were to rejoice. And it doesn't matter what our circumstances are, there is this thing that we can rejoice in, that Jesus told his disciples to rejoice in, that your name is written in heaven. And believer, if your name and mine is written in heaven, it can never ever be erased, because the Lord said, "I give to them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand." Now thinking about this, he speaks about the focus of praise. In the verse 2 he says, "Bless the Lord." We are forever asking the Lord to bless us. But in this case, the psalmist is speaking of blessing the Lord. The idea is that of bringing delight and pleasure to the heart of the Almighty as we rejoice in what he has done for us. Now, through praise, that will come from a grateful heart. And the psalmist here, because the Lord has been blessing him, he wants now to bless God and to be a blessing for him. That should be the desire of every child of God, to be a blessing for God in the community, in the world in which you and I live. In fact, the ultimate purpose for going to the house of God and to worship is to give praise unto the Lord. You see, the psalmist had this desire in his heart to bring delight to the heart of God, praising. Christ was the focus of his praise. But then he speaks, no doubt, about the faculty of praise. For he says, all that is within me, bless his holy name. In other words, he wants to praise God with every fiber of his being. And praise, true praise, genuine gratitude, will come from the depths of our heart and soul, not just from our lips. The soul is rejoicing, and that is more than some superficial or external act. His expression of gratitude is coming from his very innermost being. C.H. Spurgeon said this, many are our faculties, emotions, and capacities. But God has given them all to us, and they ought to be used in praise to him. Now, you and I know that the world in which we live, people use their lips, their mouth, their tongue, their feet, their hands, and always to do everything but praise the Lord. Many use their mouth to curse the Son of God who died on Calvary's cross. But the believer is to use his faculties to praise the Lord. Now, the psalmist spoke of those faculties. For example, in Psalm 63 in verse 3, he says this, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. And so the child of God should use his lips not to criticize God's people who are trying the best they can, but rather to praise the Lord. He spoke of using his mouth for the very same purpose, because in Psalm 145 and 21 he says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Then in the Psalm 63 in the verse 4, he says this, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And so he's using his mouth and his lips and his hands to praise and to bless the Lord. Now, over and over again, we have a multitude of examples of every faculty being employed to praise the Lord. Now, ungodly men will use every faculty to deny the Lord. And that is very clear in Romans chapter 3, where the Bible tells us that in the verse 10 onward, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then he comes into this. There's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no one. Then he says their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And while the ungodly employ their faculties, often to deny and reject the Savior, the believer should employ his faculties to rejoice and to bless the Lord. So there's praise that we should express. No matter how dark the day or how difficult the moment, we can rejoice that our names are written in heaven. Because not even death can alter that. Then there's a problem we encounter here. In verse 2 he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not." Now forgetfulness, why, it's a common problem to us all. And I think the older we get, the more common it becomes. But we are not to be forgetful of what the Lord has done for us. Now, of course, the word forget, we all know its meaning. Speaking of something that has been lost to memory. But what God has done for us in Christ at the cross should never be lost to memory. We are always to be mindful, always to be thoughtful, always to be grateful for the blessings that God has purchased for us in Christ at Calvary's cross. Now, thinking about the problem we encountered here, there's the reason for forgetfulness. Donald Barnhouse said this. He said, "The vast majority of mankind never gives a thought of gratitude towards God for all his care and blessings." We have to understand this, folks, that the vilest offender in this world, the most ungodly man that has ever lived, he is the recipient of God's goodness on a daily basis, because the Bible says in Christ we live and move and have our being. And there's not an individual could speak another word or take another step or carry out another act, but without God's divine enablement and grace. And yet they never stop to think, taking it all for granted. Someone else said, and maybe the farming community will understand this better than me, he said, "Thankless people are like swine feeding on acorns, which though they fall on their head, they never look up to the tree from which it fell." Now, I happened to be walking with my dog recently down along the river, and the wild ducks had flown in, and they were creating a real stir in the river. And I wondered, what in the world is going on? And I didn't want to disturb them, but I came up as near as I could. And then I noticed that there were things falling from the tree above them, and they were busy gathering these up and eating them. But they never looked up at the tree. They were so busy, involved in grabbing what was falling from the tree. And of course, sometimes as Christians, we can be like that. We're so busy asking and asking and asking and receiving and receiving and receiving, we never stop to thank the Lord. Just take it all. The Reverend William Still, he said, "It is sad when there's nothing for which we feel grateful to God for." Yet he says it is a very serious matter when there is something and we fail to express our gratitude. He said it is tragic when we are so busy asking for more and more that we forget to say thanks for what we've already received. Maybe we don't even stop at the meals table to thank the Lord. And we need to stop. We need to think. Because actually, the word think is, or thank is derived from the word think. And the idea is that if we will think about our blessings, it will result in our being thankful for our blessings. And the cause of spiritual ingratitude is always due to forgetfulness. There's an old proverb, and it goes like this: "As soon as you have drunk from the well, you turn your back to it. And how true that is. It's like the lepers that were saved or were cleansed, were healed, but they didn't all come back to say thank you. He said, where are the other nine? The remedy for that forgetfulness surely is so simple. David says, forget not. You know, the psalmist tells us on different occasions, we're to forget not and we're to fear not. You know, there's people running around this world, even God's people, and they're filled with fear. And the Bible forbids it. You know, there's people in Ulster still to this day, and they run around murdering and killing all the rest of it. And the Bible forbids us to fear them. The Bible says you're not to fear those who can kill your body, and after kill your body, there's nothing more they can do. But fear him who can kill your body, and after he's killed it, destroy your soul in hell. We are to fear him. Yet that's the one that people fear least. My friend, if you're in this meeting out of Christ, do you fear God? Do you fear him enough to give him your life? Do you not realize that your life is a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away and you're going down the valley? You realize that today you're near eternity that you've ever been in your life before? Isn't it time to stop and think of what Christ has done on the cross for you? And to put your trust in him. Moses often called the children of Israel to remember the ways that God had blessed them, because they were a people that were given to forgetfulness. And he said in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 18, thou shalt not be afraid of them, that is the enemies and of course the Egyptians, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Then he said in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and the verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And folks, you know, you and I can venture into every new day with absolute confidence, the God of the past, the God of the present. He didn't feel back then, he's not feeling now. And in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and the verse 15, it says, and thou shalt remember that thou wast upon man. Never forget, Christian, the hole from which God digged you. Never you forget that you were a sinner on the road to hell. And the Lord thy God saved thee. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. And you know, back then, they had their services of remembrance. They were never to forget what the Lord had done. And they were to teach it to their children and to their children's children from generation to generation. And to this very day, the Israelites and the Jews have their Passover, where they call to remembrance how God broke the Egyptian bondage and brought their forefathers out of the land of Egypt. To this very day, they still have those moments of remembrance. Are we a forgetful people? And then let me just conclude with the provision we enjoy. You see, David says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Benefits speak of the blessings that we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 3 begins to recount or name some of those blessings. And there's a whole bundle of them there. who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life, who crowneth thee with loving kindness, who satisfies thy mouth. So much that we have to rejoice in today. He speaks about the Lord's pardon there, who forgiveth. You know, the greatest blessing that anybody could ever have is to know the Lord's forgiven our sin. Friend, it doesn't matter what you and I have in this world or don't have in this world. If we have God's forgiveness, we have everything. There's many an individual in this world, and they have everything that this world can give them, and yet they are carrying around that big burden of sin that will one day crush them to hell if it's not repented of. But the believer is the joy of God's forgiveness. And friend, you can have it today. It was A.W. Tozer that said, I believe that the chronic unhappiness of most Christians may be attributed to a fear that God may not have fully forgiven their sins. David the psalmist kneels that very thing and says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And you see, when Christ forgives us our sin, he just doesn't forgive our past sin. He forgives all our sin. Every sin. Past, present, future. Every sin. Such is the extent of God's mercy. Who forgiveth all thine iniquity. Friend, can you say today, I'm enjoying the Lord's forgiveness? Have you ever asked for his forgiveness? Ever asked for his salvation? Ever put your trust in him? And friend, if you have, he forgives all our iniquities. We were reading there, of course, about the Lord, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And they're in the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again forever. Margaret Lasky, secular humanist, she said, what I envy most about Christian people is this, their forgiveness. She said, sadly, I have nobody to forgive me. Oh, how we must rejoice in the Lord's forgiveness. He talks about the Lord's preservation, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, Spurgeon, commenting on that verse, says this, there are many sides to the character of our Heavenly Father. For heaven forgiven as a judge, he then cures as a physician. That doesn't mean that a believer will never be sick, though some people teach that and it's wrong. It rains on the righteous, the Bible says, as well as the unrighteous. It doesn't mean that when they get sick, God will heal every Christian. But the thought in the verse is that God has not only forgiven us, but he will continually keep on forgiving his people. His blood keeps on washing us from sin. He will preserve us when Satan and sin attack us. The psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 41 and verse 4. Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Then he speaks here about the Lord's protection, who, in verse 4, redeemeth thy life from destruction. One of the blessings that every child of God enjoys is that the Lord is always with them in every moment of the day, even in our most pressing, trying, difficult, distressing moments. He says, I will never leave thee. And you know, Christian, we've got to live in the light of that. Because we are the light of the world, we are the salt of the earth. We're not go out in the world burdened down as if God were dead. That's what happened to Martin Luther. He was so cast down one day, his wife slipped upstairs and she dressed all in black, because that was mourning dress in those days. It's not today. And she came down to the veil over her face. And he said, is there somebody dead? Well, she says, by the way you behave, I think God must be dead. So I've dressed. We need to show the world Christ is alive. We have to rejoice in his protection, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Listen, Satan may buffet you, but God will never abandon you. Never. Who crowneth thy life with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. And there you have the Lord's provision. See that where it says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. And the word mouth there can be translated, and in many cases in the scriptures is, many years, who satisfieth thy years with good things. So, David the psalmist saying, as the years pass by, the Lord will always be there, meeting the needs of his people, satisfying their desires, and you and I have got to rejoice in that. Doesn't matter how old we get. Doesn't matter how long a person's been living and serving the Lord, God abides faithful to the end. David the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so we need to at times, as the hymn writer says, and we sing sometimes these hymns, but we need to apply them to our heart. Count your many blessings. And that will cause your heart to rejoice. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. The Duke of Wellington, the British military leader who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, he was not a very nice man, and he wasn't a very easy man for soldiers to work under. But he was brilliant at his own job. But he was very, very demanding. And no matter what act of bravery a soldier showed, he never complimented anyone. In his old age, a young woman asked him, if you had your life to live over, would you live it any differently? And Wellington thought for a moment and said, indeed I would. I would give praise where praise should be given. And Christian, you and I have much to praise God for. And that should be the expression of our heart. All too often, we are overcome with our own complaints. We forget what the Lord has done. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Don't forget what the Lord has done for you. And friend, if you're here without Christ and you trust Him as Savior, you'll not forget what He has done for you. May God help us not to fall in to the sin of ingratitude.